sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello to the Susquehanna Valley and from Harrisburg to State College to Wilkes-Barre to Williamsport. It's great to be with you on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. When the show's over, I'll be heading to practice. Got any questions, by the way, you want answered about what I've seen so far this week, we'll do so at 1-800-795-9565 on the Let It Be Solar Hotline. Great to have Rick Weibel, our good friend, on board and staying on board at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call Rick at 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. And, of course, this is the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio, which you, Kevin, have never seen or set foot in.
No, the invite never came out.
Oh, no, you're invited every day. You can come out here anytime you want.
Yeah, but you won't open the door. You're not going to get me that easily. I know what you're planning.
Roger and I have talked repeatedly that it would be nice if you sat here at the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio.
All by myself with the power off. I knew where you were going with that.
You really have a really a bad complex right now. Do you do anything in your life with any sort of semblance of confidence?
Yes, but you'll find that amusing.
Ah, video games. Okay.
No, not even that, but we won't get into that.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummelsworth. One of these days, why don't you just drive out here? We'll do the show together here, and we'll have Sarah back there.
That's actually something I've been thinking about.
I think it would be fun for you just to really see how the setup is, and I think you'd get a kick out of it. I think it'd be a lot of fun for both of us. I mean, we've actually only done the show twice together in the same location.
It's true, the golf tournament.
In studio last month and the golf tournament back in May, the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament.
Well, see, I was under the impression that was in your contract.
There is no contract. To be honest with you, I don't have one. I mean, they could call me tomorrow and say, you are gone, and I'd be out of here.
By the way, Mr. Jones.
That doesn't exist. they could drop kick me through the goalpost of life tomorrow, and I'd be out of here. Now, on my part of it, I have no desire to leave. In fact, I plan on being here for a very long time, a very long time, because this is the kind of radio station I always wanted to work for. So, but you should come out here and sit here sometime in the Steve Jones Big Ten basketball tournament chair.
Oh, is that where the chair came from?
Yeah, the chair is from the Big Ten basketball tournament. Each one of us was given a sideline chair that was used at the Big Ten basketball tournament with our name engraved in the back.
He gave you a chair?
Yes.
That sounds strange. Of the things that they would give, that sounds unusual.
Over the years, this is what I've received gifts-wise from dealing with the Big Ten. Chairs, one. Three great pieces of luggage. I mean, good size. That are Big Ten. And the other one was a camera and a printer that went with the camera. How about that?
No, wait, say that again. It was a camera and a printer?
A camera and then a printer that went with the camera. So I could take pictures right away and develop them within seconds.
You got a camera and a printer? Yeah. I'm just happy when I get lunch.
You know? That's what they gave me. Yeah, and then I have the assortment of, a computer bag, which I use right now. Big Ten Network gave me a bag, which I use on basketball.
Well, the bags are nice. Now, Little League World Series did that a lot.
Yeah.
They do that a lot, and they gave away the bags and things. And this year it was It was like a string bag thing, which is very, very handy. Only problem is I brought it home and it got confiscated.
Yeah, well, these are briefcase types things.
Yeah, well, they've done those.
Big Ten Network gave me a flip briefcase. Nice.
Yeah, they've done those soft-sided ones, too.
Yeah, very nice. Well, time now to bring in a longtime friend. We go back many, many years, and I think he's one of the finest broadcasters, football, basketball, no matter what. Harry Donahue. Harry, welcome, my friend. Great to hear from you.
Steve Jones, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing very, very well. You know, as Don Henderson, our old friend, would say, when I grow up. How often did he ever tell you that? When I grow up, I want to be Harry Donahue. When
I don't think he hasn't even gotten close to growing up, Don Henderson. He's still hanging out down in Clearwater, Florida, checking out the Phillies. I'll have to wait a couple more months, I guess, before spring training. But
yeah, but
that's what he's up to.
Yeah, but he thinks it's happening. No.
Yep.
Hey, it's been a couple.
I don't want to read Henderson's mind.
greater minds than ours have attempted that, Harry.
I hear you.
Hey, it's been a couple
even
weeks.
Even your buddy Dick Girardi on occasion, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah. Hey, it's been a couple weeks since Temple played. In the first half against Maryland, obviously, you could tell just from listening to Steve Adazio, it was ugly. Second half, they made
it was past ugly. Yeah, it was like Temple went backwards about 15 years, you know. I never saw a team come out as flat and as undisciplined as Temple was in that first half against Maryland. And they, you know, somehow managed to get within 2 points with 7.5 minutes to go. And then Maryland came up with a big third down conversion, and that was the ball game.
But they made a comeback in that, and they used some takeaways to do so. Let's get to the offensive side of it. Stability at quarterback is something that Temple has struggled with for a while. What has Chris Coyer brought to the table that has stabilized that operation?
Well, he's a dual threat, first of all. He can run with the football. He's deceptively quick and makes people miss him, which a lot of 6'3", 220-pound guys at that position normally don't do. And he's a better-than-average thrower of the football. So, you know, you have that option, and Adazio likes that option offense. And last year, I mean, he was the third guy off the bench. And finally, after missing with Mike Girardi, who threw that critical, as you recall, interception against Penn State,
yep.
And Chester Stewart, who I think Chester was at Temple for 7 years and never really, you know, got it. Chris Coyer stepped up the last three games of the regular season, and in the bowl game down against Wyoming in New Mexico was the MVP and rose to the top. And this year it was his job, I think, from the start, although you know how coaches are in preseason. I like to talk about competition and everything like that, but it would be pretty tough to sit a guy like Chris Coyer. And as you mentioned, we're coming off now bye week this early in the season, and Steve Adazio said the other day, you know, it has pros and cons. The pros is it allowed some guys who were nicked up to get better, and the cons are the fact he's still not sure about this offense. I mean, it's a young offensive line. Montel Harris, the running back who transferred in from Boston College, really hasn't played this season. He took 5 carries against Villanova, didn't play at all against Maryland because of injuries. And their leading receiver coming back, Deion Miller, has 1 catch in 2 games.
He's been
so
sick.
A lot
he's been
of
sick,
question
right?
Marks on offense, Steve. That's all I can say.
Yeah, he's been sick though. Miller's been coming back from.
Yeah. He had a viral infection, but he's been on the field. I mean, it hasn't stopped him from being on the field. I think this week, and you know, Coyer alluded to this the other day. I think this 2 weeks has also given them a chance to tweak the offense a little bit. Last year, they used to do a lot of bootleg action with Evan Rodriguez, a pretty good H-back coming across. And you know, he was like their best receiver. He's with the Chicago Bears now.
Yeah.
And he was a good blocker. He was a great receiver. I haven't seen any of that in the game plan. And I got a kid by the name of Alex Jackson, who's not a bad receiver. He's a tight end. and another kid by the name of Cody Booth. Both these kids can catch. They just haven't been part of the game plan in the first two games. So if anything, maybe Coyer was tipping his hand a little bit that maybe they're going to open it up a little bit with the passing game on Saturday.
Matt,
you can tell Coach O'Brien that tonight at Damon's.
Okay? Yeah, I'll drop that to him, see how it goes over.
I'm sure he's probably well away. We don't need Harry Donahue or Steve Jones to give him a clue on that.
And you are absolutely right about that. And Steve Adazio doesn't need either one of us either to tell them what Penn State's doing. I think they got a pretty good handle themselves. But in our own little world, Harry, we can feel important, okay?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I'll be listening tonight, you know. I'll be listening down here in Philly at 6:05. Yeah. So I'll see what the coach has to say.
Matt Brown is 5'5", who thinks he's 6'3".
I'm not sure he's 5'5".
Yeah, he might not be 5'5", but as a returner and as really a scat back, for the lack of a better word, what do you like about what he brings to the table and what Temple likes to do?
Just nonstop, maybe the toughest kid, and that's, you know, pretty tough statement to make, I guess, that I've seen in a Temple uniform ever. He, unlike a lot of guys who will, you know, and I hate to disparage a guy like Bernard Pierce, but, you know, Bernard played three seasons at Temple, but he really played about a season and a half, and the rest of the time he was hurt. Now, he did have some injuries, but a lot of guys, you know, or want to maybe sometimes come out and you know, watch a little bit and then go back in. You have to have four guys carry Matt Brown off the field. That's a tough year. He will refuse to come out of a game. And he'll tell Ray Moyer, the longtime orthopedic guy for Temple, he's fine and fine, when, in fact, you know, he probably should be on the sidelines. That's what I admire most about Matt Brown. He's just a tough, tough kid. And, boy, I'll tell you what, he, like you say, he's listed at 5'5". He may think he's 7'5", because he just gives everything, every snap, whether he has the ball or not. He's just a real tough competitor.
Yeah, there's certain guys, and you and I have been around so many of them, where they have to be absolutely perfect to be back on the field, and it drives everybody mm-hmm. nuts. And then there are other guys that just will not admit for a second they're injured, let alone tell them that they're even hurt. I mean, it's just the way it is. And he's one of those guys.
Yeah, my wife's like that. She gets up every morning and she says, I feel fine, even though she has a cold or something. Like, she wills herself to get through the day. Matt Brown wills himself to get through every game, regardless of injury. That's how tough he is.
Talk about Montel Harris. Is he an X factor for Temple moving forward in this particular season based on the body of work he had at BC, which was phenomenal?
Which was very impressive. I mean, if he had stayed at BC, not only he's already broken all the records up there for rushing yardage, he would have been the leading rusher in the ACC history. We haven't seen him, though, Steve. That's the thing. I mean, he played sparingly against Villanova because of a hamstring strain. Didn't play at all against Maryland, even though I think he told the medical staff he felt 90%. For some reason, he never got out on the field. So we're still waiting to see. I mean, what you read, you know, on paper says this kid is a heck of a running back. But we're waiting to see it because we just haven't had a chance to be an eyewitness to what he can do on the field. If he is half of what his Boston College statistics indicate, they could have a pretty good running attack between him and Matt Brown. But we'll just have to wait and see.
What does Brandon McManus mean to this team?
Brandon McManus means an awful lot, and you know the importance of a place kicker. You know, here's a kid. Brandon was offered preferred walk-on status at Penn State.
Right.
And he's from the Philly area. He's from the great high school program, North Penn. And Brandon has in his plans perhaps medical school. And one of the guys that helped recruit Brandon to Temple was Dr. Ray Moyer. Brandon, on his recruiting trip or on a subsequent visit, went to Temple Hospital and went around and made the rounds with Dr. Moyer. And Al Golden offered him a full scholarship. And you know how it is with kickers a lot of times. They get that preferred walk-on thing, and they don't get their scholarship until maybe their sophomore or junior season. And Brandon McManus, he's a tall. He's about 6'5", and he's all of 6'5". He probably weighs soaking wet about 195 pounds. But he has a very strong leg. He's very accurate. He's already established a record at Temple for field goals made in a career, one of the all-time leading scorers at Temple. And, you know, he's almost a can't-miss guy. Did have a field goal attempt blocked against Maryland. And he's got a very strong leg. I asked him the other day, with the new rule kicking off at the 35-yard line, I doubt if you're going to see any runbacks. He and Addazio, I think, have come to the conclusion they're just going to kick it right through the end zone. They'll take their chances with the opponent getting the ball at the 25-yard line.
Yeah, because he's been phenomenal on that so far this year.
And he's a great punter.
Oh, he's a fabulous punter,
too. 45 yards, and, you know, his net punting is very good. He's just a super kid. That's a tough job to do both of them, punting and also place kicking.
Yeah, I mean, he is 15 kickoffs this year, 11 touchbacks. I mean, that is just that's just phenomenal stuff.
I think he's got next-level stuff. I would be really surprised if he doesn't get a long look at the NFL.
The couple tackles, Levi Brown and Paul Hill. Give me an idea how much they disrupt in the center there.
Levi Brown is a big space eater. He's a big kid, not quite as quick as, like, you remember Muhammad Wilkerson, who was, of course, a first-round pick of the Jets from a couple years ago. Paul Hill, coming more from the edge, is a pretty good pass rusher. So they're the two most disruptive guys up front for Temple. I really like Levi Brown. He's one of these guys that's just shown steady improvement, you know, and if he can keep himself free of injuries, I think he should have a great year.
I've always, since Al Golden got there, I've really liked Temple's safety play. Caraway and Gilday, what have they done to, again, continue with that safety play that I know I've been impressed with the last few years?
Yeah, well, the kid that, of course, Kevin Kroboth was a fixture back there under Al, and now he's a graduate assistant helping out with the defense. Gilday, I don't know if maybe you saw the paper, the article today in the Harrisburg paper that Dave Jones wrote about Gilday and how he had a little chip on his shoulder because Penn State didn't recruit him.
He's from Hollidaysburg.
And he's from, less than an hour away, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, Justin's been a three-year starter. You know, he had a tough play in the Maryland game on that third down conversion that I talked about. It was sort of like double coverage, and he was back there on a really good receiver, this freshman receiver, Stephon Diggs from Maryland. And I think Justin really was just a step late getting there. If he breaks that pass up, or if it's an incompletion, Temple would have gotten the ball back with a lot of time left, down by two. So that was a critical game-breaking play for Maryland, and I know Justin feels bad about what happened. Vaughn Caraway, a former receiver, Al Golden turned into a defensive back and safety a couple of years ago, stepped up in the Villanova game. He was the defensive player of the game. He had an interception return for a touchdown, a pick six, and he also had a critical fumble recovery against Villanova. And he's a big, lanky guy, you know, and covers a lot of ground back there. So I think he's more, he's not like a fearsome hitter, but he covers a lot of space. And if Matt McGloin maybe is trying to throw a long ball, and I know, you know, the Robinson kid has had a great season. That should be an interesting little matchup when they try to double-team him.
One final thing. Steve decided, and he made a point of this on his Big East teleconference, that, look, they hit last week, and he's hitting this week. What message is he sending to his football team?
I think he's sending to them that they can't afford to, like, just take it easy, and especially during the bye week. And they wanted them to get into more game-like conditions because you know how it is. You know, you kind of get lollywag through a practice or two or three practice sessions where you're afraid somebody's going to get hurt. He's at the point that they've only played two games. And coming out of that Maryland game where, you know, in the trenches, especially the offensive line, because of field position and things like that, the turnovers really never got into a rhythm. He wanted them to get game-tough conditions for three or four practices. So I think that's why he put the first-team defense against the first-team offense. The fear was, of course, that somebody gets dinged and, you know, knocked out and wouldn't be able to play. Cross your fingers that didn't happen. But that was, I think, his philosophy. He said, you know what? We only got you know, what is it, 8-9 more games to go. He said, what are we holding back for? Let's go. We need the work. We need to get tough because it's going to be a tough environment on Saturday, and the only way to do that is to go full throttle. So I think that's what was behind that decision to do it.
Harry, thanks so much, my friend. Great hearing from you.
Okay.
Can't wait to see you this weekend.
This time tomorrow, I'll be over at the Ramada and having some dinner with some of my AccuWeather friends at the tavern tomorrow night.
Oh, very nice. I'll be at the tavern.
Including Mr. Dean DeVore. So,
very nice.
You know. Yeah, oh, yeah. That's an annual. So,
I mean,
looking forward to it.
Well done. Well played, Donahue.
and I'll see you, if not tomorrow, I'll see you on Saturday.
Hey, Harry, it's great. Always great spending time with you, my friend.
Okay, right. Steve. Thank you. Yep.
Harry Donahue, play-by-play voice for the Temple Owls. News coming up out of the hour. We'll take this break, and then Sarah Bartlett. Then we'll talk about quarterbacks in the Big Ten as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
At Sunbury Motors, the rewards are many. And the regrets? Well, the regrets just don't happen. That's because no matter what vehicle you buy from Sunbury Motor Company, you are guaranteed to be satisfied. Not only when you first get that new or used car, truck, or SUV, but when you have your vehicle serviced, you'll always have the best experience possible from start to finish. Talk about variety being the spice of life? Well, at Sunbury Motor Company, you have the luxury of choosing from all the best brands like Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln. Each and every vehicle comes with awesome service and financing plans that fit your budget and are super easy to afford. You can even submit a financing application online and calculate the value of your trade-in. Ask about Sunbury Motors' Tire Rewards Program. Service, parts, body shop, and quick lane too. New or used, the best vehicles come from Sunbury Motor Company. Visit sunburymotors.com to see all their new and used inventory and visit the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury or Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar. Your approved PPL ePower Trade Ally. Upgrading to energy efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable. And we do all the paperwork for you. The ePower Direct Discount Program for PPL customers pays you up front for up to 75% of your project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar, this is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Greetings, Mark Lawrence from WKOK's On the Mark program. It's a raucous open phones Friday tomorrow with Ben Reichle and Wendy Lee, our Bloomsburg University philosopher, 8:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WKOK and WKOK.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, it is Thursday. That means I'm on all day.
It's Steve Jones Thursday on WKOK.
Damon's tonight, East College Avenue and State College. I'll be with Bill O'Brien from 6:05 until 7 o'clock, and we'll take your questions on a variety of topics. Today, we've already had on Matt Fortuna from ESPN.com, who's the blogger for Notre Dame. We've talked about a half hour's worth of Notre Dame football today. So for all you Notre Dame lovers out there, and there are plenty of them in our area, gave you a pretty good fix of it today, previewing Notre Dame and Michigan, which will be Saturday night at Notre Dame Stadium in South Bend. So we gave you a pretty good chunk of Notre Dame football, talking about the ACC move, about the game with Michigan, the state of the team right now, first 3-0 start in 10 years. Follow that up in the last half hour with Harry Donahue, the play-by-play voice of Temple football, to get you ready for Penn State and Temple Saturday at Beaver Stadium. Of course, Bill O'Brien tonight from 6:05 to 7 o'clock. I think we have virtually every angle on that covered. I also talked to Steve Joachim today, who's the color analyst for Temple.
Today's show, the Thursday edition, being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. We're at the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and the Lenape Solar Hotline is open. Love to hear from you at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Lenape Solar. Visit them online at lenapesolar.com. All right. The Big Ten is not exactly the cradle of NFL quarterbacks. If you look, every quarterback that is recruited, okay, every one of them that's recruited, I don't care if it's the silly three-star, four-star, five-star, mumbo-jumbo, make-believe world that some people want to play in, okay? You know, because it just doesn't, you just don't know. A five-star guy can translate to the next level as a five-star guy. A five-star guy can translate to the next level as a two-star guy. Because suddenly the talent level evens up, and some are just who they are, and they're great. And some people are, wait a minute, I have to handle adversity now and can't. But every one of those guys, every one of them, without question, they'll pick a major. They can be dedicated to academics, but all of them have aspirations of going to the next level, correct? This is where you jump in.
I thought that was a rhetorical question. Of course they do.
Of course.
And if they don't, then they shouldn't be playing.
Look, we had a script meeting this morning at 9:30.
Like, I missed
we
have it.
Every, you know, because, again, the show is completely scripted.
I missed it again.
And the fact is, I mean, Sarah was there for the script meeting. I was there. I mean, there's a section coming up where I praise Joe Flacco today. That was Sarah's specific request in the show. So every one of them has aspirations going to the NFL. If you look at the Big Ten, the state of the Big Ten, what I'm about to say is not a put down of Big Ten quarterbacks, because each team is trying to find a way to win. And in finding a way to win, a certain quarterback or style of quarterback has helped that happen. That doesn't mean, though, it translates to the next level. Denard Robinson. Michigan has been highly successful the last 2 years, after not being so within the first 2 years. But he is not playing quarterback in the National Football League. Okay? Kane Coulter, Northwestern, great athlete playing quarterback. Taylor Martinez, Nebraska, great athlete playing quarterback. Marquise Gray, Minnesota, great athlete playing quarterback. Andrew Maxwell, James Vandenberg, jury's still out. Maxwell might have a shot. Maybe. Okay, Braxton Miller, Ohio State, great college quarterback, no shot next level. Nathan Shielhouse, Illinois. No shot next level. Riley O'Toole, though, might. He's just a true sophomore, but Riley O'Toole might. Okay, Trey Roberson, Indiana, Schofield, the Kauffman kid, the JC transfer, no. Caleb Turbush, no. Rob Henry, back up at Purdue, no. Okay, Danny O'Brien, Joel Stave, Wisconsin, uh-uh. If I have the ball at the 10-yard line, no timeouts, 50 seconds to go. Okay, this is where pros excel. If I had to pick that moment, I would pick over Denard Robinson and Braxton Miller and Taylor Martinez, Matt McGloin, and what Penn State does. Penn State runs an offense that, if you're a quarterback, says, I can get to the next level. Yes, they're not going to a bowl game in 4 years, and three years after this. But believe me, you can put together a body of work in 48 games that they will watch, because every game's on TV and every scout will take a long look. And they will be in a system where that when you go to a combine or you go to play in an all-star game like the Senior Bowl and it's pro coaches, they will say, we want you to run this particular play. And they've run it so many times in their career, it is second nature. Absolutely second nature. So if you're thinking about it, if you think about this, this is not, this conference, okay,
Robinson's a winner. Miller's been a winner. Martinez is a winner. That's fine. But so are Rex Kern and Jack Mildren. See where I'm going here?
I do.
So now let's take a look at the National Football League, and let's take some quick notes as we go along as to where the starting quarterbacks are from. So let's take, for example, the NFC East. Giants, Eli Manning, Ole Miss, SEC. Okay, Eagles, Michael Vick was in the Big East, but now they're in the ACC. Okay, Virginia Tech. RG3, Baylor, Big 12. Dallas, Tony Romo, Eastern Illinois. So you put him in the category of other. Okay, now let's change divisions. Aaron Rodgers, California, Pac-12. Jay Cutler, Vanderbilt, SEC. Christian Ponder, Florida State, ACC. Matthew Stafford, Georgia, SEC. You keeping notes there?
I am trying, but you're reading them awful fast.
Oh, I'm keeping notes here. I'm trying to keep some notes here myself. I'm just writing down conferences, all right? Cam Newton, Auburn, SEC. Matt Ryan, Boston College, ACC. Drew Brees, Purdue, Big Ten. And who's the other team down there? Tampa Bay, Josh Freeman, Kansas State. Or Kansas, right? So Big 12. Okay, now we go west. Russell Wilson, Wisconsin, Big Ten with Seattle. Alex Smith, Utah, he has to go in the other category. Can't put him in the Pac-12. They weren't in the Pac-12 when he played there. So Sam Bradford, Rams, Oklahoma, and Kevin Cobb, or Skelton, it doesn't matter. Cobb, Houston, they go in the category of other. Okay, now let's go to the AFC. Tom Brady, Michigan, New England. Frank Fitzpatrick, Harvard for the Buffalo Bills. You put him in the category of other. Ryan Tannehill, Texas A&M. You got to put him in the Big 12, though. You can't put him in the SEC because he was a Big 12 quarterback. And Mark Sanchez, USC, Pac-12, Tim Tebow, other. Just kidding. Doesn't count. Ben Roethlisberger, Miami of Ohio, other. Joe Flacco, Delaware. Baltimore Ravens, other. Started Pitt, but you can't, that doesn't count. Brandon Weeden, Oklahoma State, Cleveland Browns, Big 12. And Andy Dalton, TCU, Cincinnati, but that goes in the category of other. Okay, now they're in the Big 12 now, but he didn't play a game of the Big 12. Go down south. Let's see. Blake Gabbert, Jacksonville, Missouri, Big 12. Even though they're in the SEC now, you got to make that a Big 12 call. Tennessee has Jake Locker, Washington, Pac-12. Matt Schaub, Virginia, ACC, Houston, Texas, Indianapolis would be Andrew Luck, Pac-12, Stanford. Okay, now we take it to the West, and Matt Cassel, USC, Pac-12, Phillip Rivers, NC State, ACC, San Diego, Oakland is Carson Palmer, USC, Pac-12, and who's the other team out there? Oakland, San Diego, Denver, the kids. I got them all right. And Peyton Manning, SEC, with Tennessee. So by my calculations, and let's see how this adds up. My calculations are. Other leads with seven. Pac-12 has six. Big 12 has six. SEC has five. The ACC has five. The Big Ten has three starting quarterbacks in the NFL. And the Big East has none. See where I'm going?
It's starting to come clearer now.
This conference is not the cradle of quarterbacks in the National Football League. Three starting quarterbacks. Admittedly, two of the better ones, by the way, in Brees and Brady, and a guy that's coming on that I voted I did not vote for Monty Ball last year as the Big Ten Player of the Year. I voted for Russell Wilson. Now let's go to Super Bowls. May not be as evident in Super Bowls because this is a long history. Try and do this as quickly as we can here because I know we have time. In fact, you know what we'll do? We'll take a break and take care of the necessary information here. Rick Weibel, REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. Take a look at the Super Bowl quarterbacks. I'm trying to do this without a net here. There are no notes, so I'm doing the best I can here. Okay? How are you doing there, Kevin? All right?
Don't ask for me. Don't ask for a net for me.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I mean, I'm swimming here with some of the numbers you've been names you've been mentioning here in numbers.
Okay. Hey, we just feel lucky we are able to get all 32 starting quarterbacks, okay?
That's right.
Okay. I mentioned Flacco. So, Sarah, I got the obligatory Flacco mention in there.
Right, that's your once per show Flacco.
Yeah, so now we're going to come back with the Super Bowl guys where Flacco's not going to be a part of it in a few moments here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, welcome. All right, here we go. Let's get to the Super Bowl now. Let's see if we can do this quickly. Again, only three current NFL starting quarterbacks are from the Big Ten. Other is seven, Pac-12 six, Big 12 six, SEC five, ACC five. Big East has none. And the Big Ten has three. All right. So now let's get like the history of the Super Bowl. Let's just run this down for you quickly. Okay, Super Bowl one, okay, it's Alabama, Bart Starr, and Big Ten with Len Dawson. Then you go to Super Bowl two, one more time, it's Alabama, SEC, and Notre Dame, Daryl LaMonica. Super Bowl III, it's Alabama again, Joe Namath. Earl Morrill, Michigan State. Super Bowl IV, it's Len Dawson, Purdue. And it's Joe Capp from Cal. Super Bowl V, it is Craig Morton from Cal, Pac-12. And Johnny Unitas, Louisville. That's going in the category of other. They weren't in the Big East. Six, Roger Staubach, Navy, other. Bob Greasy, Purdue, Big Ten. Seven, Bob Greasy, Purdue, Big Ten. And Billy Kilmer, UCLA, for Pac-12. Eight is Fran Tarkenton, Georgia, SEC, Bob Greasy, Purdue, Big Ten. Nine is Louisiana Tech, okay, other, Terry Bradshaw, other side, Fran Tarkenton, Georgia, SEC. Ten, Roger Staubach, Navy, other, Louisiana Tech, Terry Bradshaw, other. 11 is Ken Stabler, Alabama, SEC. And on the other side, it is Fran Tarkenton, Georgia, SEC. 12 is Craig Morton from Cal. For the Broncos, Roger Staubach, Navy, other. Again, Staubach and Bradshaw, Tech, and Navy, other in 14, or in 13. In 14, it's Vince Ferragamo, Nebraska, but they have to put that down as a Big 12 one, okay, Kev?
Vince Ferragamo, now there's a name I haven't heard in a while.
Well, yeah, he made the cut today. But he was the starting quarterback for the Rams and played well in that game. And Terry Bradshaw, Louisiana Tech. 15, Jim Plunkett, Stanford, Pac-12. And Ron Jaworski, Youngstown State, other. 16, Joe Montana, Notre Dame. Ken Anderson, Augustana, okay, Notre Dame, and other. 17 is David Woodley, LSU for the Dolphins, and Joe Theismann, Notre Dame for Washington. Then it's Joe Theismann, Notre Dame, 18, and then Pac-12, Jim Plunkett, Raiders. 19 is Dan Marino, Pitt, Big East, even though he's independent, but still Big East. We'll give him credit. And then Joe Montana, Notre Dame. 20 is Jim McMahon, BYU, so that's another. And Tony Eason, Illinois, Big Ten. 21, Phil Simms, Morehead State, other. John Elway, Stanford, Pac-12. 22, Doug Williams, Grambling, other. John Elway, Stanford, Pac-12. 23 is Joe Montana, Notre Dame. And Boomer Esiason, ACC, Maryland. 24 is Joe Montana, again, Notre Dame, and John Elway, Pac-12. 25 is Jeff Hostetler, West Virginia, Big East. You know, he started Penn State, but still Big East, West Virginia, and Jim Kelly, Miami. But you have to put that one down as other. You can't really give them a conference. They weren't a conference at the time. 26 is Mark Rippon, Washington State, and Jim Kelly again, Miami. That's other. So you get Pac-12 other. Then you go to 27, Troy Aikman, UCLA, Pac-12, Jim Kelly, Miami, other. And then it's the same thing again, Aikman, Kelly, same Super Bowl in 28. 29, Steve Young, which would be BYU, and that would go under the category of other. And they played San Diego, Stan Humphries, and Stan Humphries was, I think, Louisiana Monroe. All right? Right about that? Neil O'Donnell, Maryland, ACC, Pittsburgh, Troy Aikman, UCLA, Pac-12, 30, 31, Brett Favre, Southern Miss, that's other. John Elway, obviously, excuse me, my apologies, Drew Bledsoe, Washington State on the other side for New England. 32 is Elway, Stanford, Pac-12, Favre on the losing side, Southern Miss, other. 33 is Elway. Again, Pac-12, Chris Chandler for Atlanta would be Pac-12, Washington. 34, Steve McNair, Alcorn State, other, Kurt Warner, Northern Iowa. 35 is Kerry Collins, Penn State, Big Ten, and Trent Dilfer, Fresno State, so that's other. 36.
This is frightening.
What? 36 is Kurt Warner, Northern Iowa. And Tom Brady, Michigan. 37, Tom Brady and Jake Delhomme, who was, I think, Louisiana Lafayette. Okay? Right? And then I think, well, 30. Then you had Rich Gannon, Delaware. And you have Brad Johnson, Florida State. And you have Donovan McNabb, Syracuse, Big East. And then Tom Brady again. Then we get to 40. It's Miami of Ohio, Ben Roethlisberger, and Tim Hasselbeck, Boston College. Okay, now the numbers I have are SEC 13, Big Ten 14, Big 12 has one starting quarterback in the Super Bowl, 17 Pac-12s, but man, we got a bunch of others, 32 others outside of the BCS conferences. But again, current quarterbacks, three Big Ten starters in the NFL at quarterback. You want to play quarterback at Penn State? All you got to do is rack up one quarter of film, and Penn State's the place to be.